Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, Louis Lewis 5. That's L-E-W-Y-L-E-W-I-S and the number 5. Today I am joined by none other than my favorite brother-in-law, Steven. How's it going today?
It's going well. If these injuries in fantasy football would stop happening.
It keeps on piling on. I mean, at least this week, it wasn't as bad, I guess, compared to the last few weeks we've been seeing. I mean, there's some injured players that we will get to and some injured people for the season. Yeah. But thanks for coming on today. I know it was a little short notice. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's fun.
Week 5 is in the books. We are recording during the Kansas City and Jacksonville halftime. I guess it just started third quarter, but Kansas City is up 14-7.
Yeah, it wasn't really much worth watching anyways.
Yeah, not right now. I mean, Trevor Lawrence fumbles trying to reach in for the end zone and just hand the damn ball off to ETN a couple times and get us some touchdowns that way, because it would be very well off compared to Trevor Lawrence.
Yep. Yeah. Or else pass the ball, pass the line of scrimmage. It's like, dude, you're going into your sixth year. You're one of the highest paid quarterbacks. You got to have more awareness than that.
Yep. And then what's going on with Brian Thomas or even Travis Hunter? He only has like one catch right now. It's not looking good. But nonetheless, we said screw the show sheet. We're going to just talk, and don't worry, we'll still give you our favorite ads for waiver, especially because this week, I mean, you're going into more bye weeks, more injuries, but don't worry, we got you guys covered. And with that, let's get fantasy. Yeah, so again, I am joined by you, Steven. You want to give the audience and listeners a little info on yourself?
Yeah, I'm Steven. I've been on here a couple times now doing these. It's fun. I love fantasy. It's been a crazy ride so far this year, but a little bit about me. Married, I got 3 kids, so that takes up a lot of time. Plus, I am also the host of a podcast, the Bogey Breakdown, just thinking about all the bogeys I get, that I do with my brother. We try to play all the courses here in Wisconsin, and we're trying to kind of record our journey through that. Jake, you were on last week, this last episode. So yep. that was nice to have you on, and it's a fun thing to do. Get on, go out, play a course, get on, kind of come back, talk about it, review it. So that's the Bogey Breakdown. We're on all of the podcast sites. We're on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. That's kind of how I am.
Yeah, definitely. It was a pleasure joining you last week, or what came out on Friday.
Yep.
So be sure to check it out, the Bogey Breakdown. Let's talk about injuries right now. I mean, you brought it up. Like, what more do we need? It seems like every week we get 2 star players like go out, or I mean, Malik Nabers and all them are out for the season. This week, Omarion Hampton sent to the IR. It's probably the biggest news right now. It sucks because it's a high ankle sprain. Those can take up to 6 weeks possibly. And what do you think about this? Like,
yeah, the bad thing about it is he was like just breaking out, coming into his own, And it was, you know, it's, they needed him. They're struggling without their offensive line, which I think is probably, you know, it started out looking like the Chargers were just going to maybe be the best team in the AFC. Then their whole offensive line gets banged up, and now they're losing two of their running backs. Now they're down to their, you know, their second, fourth string running backs. It's like, it's, this one hurts me. Actually, you know what's funny is I actually have a trade sitting out there that was offered to me. And this, I wouldn't do it, but someone had thrown out CD Lamb for Amari and Hampton, and they haven't deleted their trade yet.
Oh, man. Accept it right now. Yeah. You know? It's just like, it's like one of those things like, oh, well, you should pay attention. Yeah. You never know. I just did a Dynasty League trade. I mean, I got a 2028 first round pick and Isaiah Bond, and I'm very high on Isaiah Bond.
Yep.
For Trey Benson, and then Benson the next day gets injured and the guy's like, this is crap. It's like, dude, I traded him when he was healthy. I don't know what else to tell you, you know. It's not my fault he got injured in his knee and everything else, and it sounded like he had surgery as well. So, but yeah, Hampton, I mean, like you're saying, he's coming into his own. He's a clear-cut bell cow, you know, now. We've seen last week he went over 100 yards. This week he's ramping up, and unfortunate event. And he would have probably scored easily because they're on like the five-yard line a couple times toward the end of the game. And there's no Najee Harris anymore because he's gone with his torn Achilles. So it really sucks, and it's, you know, you don't like seeing that happening to a rookie as well, especially that they kind of babied him for a while, you might as well say.
Yeah.
Got him worked into it.
Yeah.
Another guy, though, Antonio Gibson tore his ACL. I don't know what to say for this. It's unfortunate. We don't like seeing that for players in general. But this guy, what the hell? He was starting, I think. He had six rush attempts before Travion Henderson. Thanks a lot for not getting anything. But
I didn't realize how big of a dude that Gibson was. Like when he was walking up to the line, he reminded me almost like a Derrick Henry type body frame that he had on him. Like I didn't realize, because he was always more of like a pass catching back.
Yeah, I always thought of him like a little short guy that you see, you know, in the gym or something like that. He
big when he was out there.
He needs to stop taking.
He's 6 foot 228.
Holy crap. Yeah, I guess I thought he was a lot smaller. I thought
I did too.
And guy 210.
He's a big dude. Yeah, but yeah, he tore his ACL.
Well, I guess that should open up some more playing time for fumbling machine Ramondre Stevenson. Like, what the hell? He fumbled again. It's like, why? And, why are we still playing him? And then all of a sudden, oh, hey, you fumbled. You fumbled like 20 times this season. We'll get you two touchdowns. Yeah. Travion, you just sit there and watch, and you look pretty in our second round.
He had seven carries for 14 yards. And it's like, why are you letting this guy out there when you guys have such an explosive, like the Travion Henderson to me just blows my mind. Like it just makes me mad. Like out of all the things that, like you and I were kind of talking about this a little bit before the show started. And it's just like, I drafted him to be an RB1 for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's unplayable in the league. You know, it just makes me mad. You draft him over guys that, you know, are blowing up now, and you see that he has the skills, he has the abilities, and yet they're just like, oh, we'll give you six carries in a game. Like, pathetic.
Yeah, it's especially you see like his old college, you know, teammate Junkins just going off every week now that he's getting a buttload of carries, you know, 20 plus. We knew that Henderson coming in would be more of a Jahmyr Gibbs-like running back, and he's not even getting anywhere near those numbers what Gibbs was when he came in for a rookie.
Yeah, he just kind of sucks because opportunity.
Yeah, his I think ADP, he went from like sixth round all the way up to like almost fourth round, and your ROI is not even close to being that.
No, I mean you're not even he's not playable.
Like, yeah. I have to play him in a couple of my leagues because I thought he was going to be the bell cow, you know, like not bell cow, but up there and receiving. He's not even in receiving yards. That's another thing. Like he projects as a receiving back. What did he actually do this past week? I don't even think he got that much.
No, I understand like trying to work somebody in as a rookie. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to work in guys, but when it comes down to it and you have a guy that's got a fumbling problem that's constantly costing your team points, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna give the ball to this guy and not give it to this younger. It's like, yeah, I get that he's not an experienced back, but you're trying to do the best thing for your team, and doing the best thing for your team isn't letting your team, your guys fumble away the ball all the time. Like, I get he's not a veteran, but it doesn't matter if a guy's a veteran if they're fumbling. Like, that's what I don't get.
Right. It looks like, yeah, he did fumble early in the game, Stevenson, and lost it. But it's like,
yeah,
he got two targets for 13 yards. Travion Henderson, a pass-catching running back, three targets, two catches, 3 yards.
Yeah.
And then he had six rushes, same as Gibbs before he left the game, 24 yards compared to Stevenson, 7 for 14. But yeah, those two touchdowns, it's ridiculous. I don't like it at all. So hopefully this Gibson news, hopefully it kind of puts him back into more of a, I guess, 50-50, I guess, at this point, because it seemed like they're about 30-30-20.
Yeah.
Or 30-30-30, I guess you'd say. But
getting one guy out.
Yeah. Other news, though. Saquon Barkley injured his knee. His Thursday night availability, I do believe they play, is in question. I mean, I'm not making a big scene about today not practicing. It's every Monday. Everyone takes their rest day, especially after getting hit how many times each and every game, especially at the running back position. I'm not worried about it. If it becomes Wednesday and he still hasn't practiced, that's the issue then. And if that's the case, I would be looking at potentially his backups for playing.
Yeah.
A couple other, Grant Calamari, I think it is, the tight end for Eagles, oblique injury, Khalif Raymond, neck, both of them did not return. And then if you do kickers, Spencer Schrader, sounds like he's probably going to be missing quite some time with the knee injury.
The season.
Is it a season?
Yeah.
All right, I didn't get that note, but yeah. So be sure to switch that one out.
Yeah, number one kicker. Yeah, he tore his ACL and MCL.
On a kick? Like, I didn't see the injury. Was it, like, off a kickoff or what?
I didn't see the injury either. I just know that he was the best kicker for fantasies-wise. So I had picked him up and started him in a few leagues. And
oh, yeah, same. I mean, I think he was 100% his whole career. And then, yeah, injury. I should look it up later on, but like, can you imagine he tore his ACL kicking the ball? And then also, sorry, we don't mean to laugh at it, but it's just like, oh, shit. Not a good thing. How did you feel overall about these games, though, from week 5?
There were some wild ones. There were some that were just hard to watch. I think the one that was probably the best one for me was Seattle and Tampa Bay. It was just like, just touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It was awesome. I think like there was some, it was nice to see all that garbage time touchdowns for the Jets.
Yep. Or the Bengals. And yeah,
The Bengals looked like halfway decent in the second half, though.
Like, I think it's more less playing defense by the Lions than anything else.
Yeah. I think probably a big surprise to me was that the Bills lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Man, Stephon Diggs.
He looked determined for sure. Yeah. I felt like week five was the blowout and the upset games, you know.
Yeah.
Thursday night, who really thought 49ers had a chance
with nobody,
with all the injuries that they experienced? And then Kendrick Bourne. He's born again. I mean, like, what the hell? Yeah. 14 targets, 10 catches, 142, 46 yards. Insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, then, you know, the comeback of Minnesota. I feel like Minnesota is one of those lucky teams that every game they're down by so much going into the fourth quarter and somehow pull off a win.
Yeah.
Raiders look like crap right now.
Yeah,
Colts look really good. I'm surprised by the Colts overall this year in general.
Raiders are bad. And I was reading something about them earlier this afternoon about how, like, Geno Smith has three more picks than anything else, the next closest quarterback. And the just like the way that they're using their personnel, and they're constantly benching and unbenching players, and they're
amazing. Everyone's going to be like, oh, well, Brock Bowers isn't playing. It doesn't matter. Like, Geno Smith, two more interceptions. I think he is my bench of the week for sure this week. Did not want to stream him. In the last two games, he's got five interceptions, two touchdowns. No, thank you. Not something I want to deal with right now.
Dude, the Cardinals game, the ending of that game. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. DeMarcado wouldn't have got on that freaking bus. If I was the coach, I would not have had him. I would have just been like, walk your ass home.
I don't understand.
You are not on my team.
Like, that's that is the stupidest thing. Like, I don't understand, like, oh, yeah, look at me. I can drop the ball as soon as I cross the goal line. Like, I've never understood why players do that, and it just makes me so angry.
Yeah, and one of our favorite running backs, Jonathan Taylor, last year, it cost so many people playoffs during that time because it was round one. And, come on, hold on to the ball. And then after you see last week, A.D. Mitchell, he drops it at the one again. And then this guy goes for a 72-yard breakaway run. Yes, he had somebody right behind him, but, like, you slowed down.
Yeah.
Keep running all the way through. Like,
there was no reason for that. They should have had that touchdown. And then guess what? You're a third-string guy. You finally get a chance to come out and play, and then you do something stupid like that. Guess who's not going to be playing next week? Guess who just now maybe blew their shot in the NFL?
Yeah, and like I said, that asshole would never got on my plane to get out of there.
Yeah.
And on top of it, like, it screwed me out of $90 in my parlay, but still, you know, it's just like, you give the Titans their first win because of that crap? Man, just stupid penalties, or not penalties, but just
prior to
not holding onto the ball. It doesn't make sense. And if I was Kyler Murray, I'd step up and say something like, how dumb.
He'd have to step up onto a pretty big platform to be able to let people see him.
A little booster seat. Yay, everyone. Not like, but yeah, I mean, overall, I just cannot believe that game. They should be 3-2, not 2-3. They lose against freaking Titans.
The worst team.
And even in that game, like, I don't understand it. Like, he had a 71-yard run, and then he was supposed to be the next man up, as everyone projected, but no. It was Michael Carter. Michael Carter would be the guy to go after now. He 18 rush attempts, 51 yards, and a touchdown. And I think he actually had 5 catches, 22 yards as well. So,
yeah. Well, the thing that was crazy to me is, like, the consistency between the rushing, and like, DeMarcado was supposed to be the pass catching back even then, and he didn't even get any of the pass catching work either. And it's like,
yeah when I was looking at, I don't even know if he even stepped foot on the field in the first half, DeMarcado. And
yeah,
he was the guy that was behind Trey Benson. And then Trey Benson gets hurt, you know, next man up. Oh, hey, guess what? It's not DeMarcado. It's Michael Carter.
Yeah.
We kind of seen that earlier also with another team. I can't remember off the top of my head that that got their starter got hurt. It was actually the third. Ja'Cory Kroski-Mara. Everyone thought it was going to be him.
Oh, yeah.
Which, hey, this week it was him. Everyone thought it was going to be, you know, him. And then all of a sudden comes out, hey, it's Chris Rodriguez for two games. And then Bill Kroski-Mara goes off and he only played 55% of snaps.
Yeah.
I still don't understand that either. Like,
did so well for me on my bench in almost every league.
How can you start him? You know, like, you cannot predict that he was going to start, and it made no sense. And let's look at his stats. 14 rushes, 111 yards, two touchdowns. He fumbled as well. Like,
he had to be what, the third running back, wide running back three on the week, probably.
Something like that. I could always look it up.
Because it was like, but, with Rico.
Yeah.
Going Rico. Off.
And Rico then went off today, you know, and then it was just 200 and some yards. If you play the waiver wire the last 2 weeks, you could have got Kenny Gainwell, and he would have been like RB3, I think, of that week. And then this week, you could have got Rico Dowdle. And then on top of that, you could have probably, yeah, Ja'Cory Kroski was number 5.
Okay.
But you also could have got Michael Carter, which is number 10. So, you know what I mean? Like, these running backs are out there. Wire Sears, like, you know, you and I, we were texting, you said for your waivers, wire Sears are hard to come right now. Yeah. It's just, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. That's why when you do go for your fab and everything else for your waivers, go after running backs, because they're more likely to hit than, I guess, Tom, Dick, and Harry over here. Run or wide receiver, like, everyone chased the Trey Tucker week. He blanked you basically the last two weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he had serviceable points last week, this past week.
Did he? I mean, yeah, I only see 6 points, so it's not too promising for the Raiders themselves.
PPR. Full PPR, he was 11. He had four catches for 62 yards. But
yep, so 10.2, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, like, just some of those guys. I guess, what is your most surprising game of the week, I guess?
I would say, like, the biggest surprise for me was probably the Bills losing at home. Like, that one really surprised me. I would say, well, besides, you know, the Cardinals losing was a big surprise to me. There was a lot of surprises. So I was in my pick-ems. This was the worst week. So I was like, I think I had only had like 9 wrong picks all the way up until last week, and I think I only got like 5 of my picks right.
Yeah, I did not do good at all.
Like, I mean, Carolina beating Miami, which I kind of thought might happen, but then New Orleans, that was a surprise. Denver beating Philadelphia was kind of a surprise. Tennessee was a surprise. Washington was a surprise. New England was a surprise.
Denver, I thought, was a surprise too. Like,
yeah.
Eagles, like, I feel like a lot of these teams did not keep their foot on the gas. Eagles was one of them. Like, they're up majority of the game, I felt like. And then all of a sudden, what the heck? You just lost.
Yeah,
they're up 17-3, and then Broncos scored 18 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, what's going on? You know,
I was happy.
Jalen Hurts, it's hard when Jalen Hurts has to throw the ball. I mean, he threw it well, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, but when Barkley only has 30 yards on the ground with the injury, AJ Brown looks, I don't even know if he's playable right now. Same thing. Five catches, 42 yards.
Either. Yeah, he's bad.
There's that game. They didn't, you know, keep their foot on the gas. Even Cleveland Browns, I thought, played a really good game, Dylan Gabriel overall.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, the Vikings are that team that somehow pulls off a win.
Yeah, I was really hoping that the Browns would pull off a win.
And Miami, you're up 17-0, and you let Carolina come back. How? Doesn't make sense. And then, you know, I was going to mention this. When does he get fired? When does the head coach at Miami get fired? I just don't understand.
It's,
you know, you're up.
It's going to happen.
17-0. And then all of a sudden you lose 24-7. It's almost like the Packers a couple weeks ago. You're scared to win. You're scared to lose. So you're playing frightened. You're going to either tie, I guess, in the Packers sense, or be Miami or, you know, Eagles and lose.
It was nice that the Packers were on bye, because then they wouldn't be able to lose and make me angry.
Right. All right. Let's take a break and hear a word from the Podfather.
Pour one out for an incredible best ball season. It was a breakout 2025 for Fast Draft, but now the NFL action has started. That means it's DFS season. That's right. You might think, oh, wow, DFS, I can't win DFS. Oh, but you can on Fast Draft. You just pick any six guys and you put them in a handful of booster spots. There's no salary rubric you have to follow. You're not going up against thousands of killer bots in these tournaments. Oh, no, 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 no. These are regular people grabbing their six favorite plays of the week, and that's all you have to do. And we post the ownership so that you can choose how much chalk you want. There is no drafting. It's called the Quick Six Super Slam. The Quick Six Super Slam is the signature DFS contest at Fast Draft. It is changing DFS. We are making DFS great again. So go to fastdraft.app and use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. And let's go start drafting faster.
Yeah, go ahead and use promo code Lewis for dollar for dollar match up to $50. I'm going to, before we get into a couple of players that we can mention, Jacksonville just picked off Patrick Mahomes for a 99-yard touchdown. Yeah. And Trevor Lawrence has a 10-yard rushing touchdown. So they are up 21-14.
That would be wild if they also won.
Hey, speaking of teams that wild if they won, what the hell is going on with the Ravens?
You know, when everybody was talking about Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers, and that, you know, they were gonna, they might come in last place in the division. They might win their division.
Well, who would have predicted, you know, Joe Burrow, he's going to be basically done for the season. Baltimore, man, they're 1-4. And four. Would you predict
bad? Like, their defense is garbage.
They're bad. Yeah. Defense, they're allowing so many points. 44 against the Texans.
Yeah.
You made CJ Stroud look like an MVP, and that's terrible. And that's scary saying, you know, I don't understand it. And then Browns, they don't look that great. They don't look impressive.
Their defense is really good.
Their defense is stout, but their offense, I just want to know when they're going to start Shedeur Sanders, because I'm wondering when I'm going to be seeing the celebration, you know. But nonetheless, I just have a hard time with that team right now with the Baltimore. Speaking of that same division, is Jake Browning going to get benched anytime soon?
I heard that he might be out.
Yeah. Like, he did not look impressive at all. And
three picks.
Every week he's throwing picks. And three picks this week, zero last week, but he had zero touchdowns, only 125 yards, two interceptions, three interceptions. He's got
good fantasy day, though.
Yeah, he's quarterback 9 on the week. Yeah. But you look at that team, who else are you going to start? Brett Rippon?
Jake Browning, unless they trade for somebody, which
Kirk Cousins. I
had heard that they had reached out to Green Bay
for Malik.
For Malik
Willis.
I mean, they're gonna lose this week. We'll see. The Packers haven't really done much for turning the ball over, so he might probably not throw away any picks.
I don't know. I'd be the offense line, Micah Parsons. How many sacks is he going to get? Hopefully multiple for us.
Hopefully.
But yeah, I think he's going to get bench at some.
I just don't know.
Week or next week. I mean, think
Brett Rippon is just not good either.
Mm-mm. I don't even know. I know Desmond Ridder was on there. Team for preseason, but I don't see that working out too well either. If you know they're 2-0 with Joe Burrow and then unfortunate events, now they're what 2-3?
Yeah,
that's not good that but way.
Still ahead of Baltimore.
You're right. What do you think about Dylan Gabriel's performance? So staying in the same division, I guess.
It was okay. It was better than what we've seen out of Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything special. He didn't turn the ball over though. So that was nice to see. He did throw two touchdowns. But man, I didn't even realize that he threw the ball that much. He
threw it 33 times. He had 190 yards, two touchdowns. Mentioning or talking to my cousin Bill that I have on Thursdays, I think he is what 5 for 13 or something like that, 5 for 14 to wide receivers. It's like, I mean, I understand some of that was, you know, overthrowing and all that, but when you have Quinshon Judkins running the ball too, it's 110 yards. That's so nice to have.
A decent defense too, and
and that's all you need. I mean, Joe Flacco won with a he's not the greatest quarterback, but he won with a great defense, the Super Bowl. I thought his performance was, I'd give it like a B-. It wasn't like too flashy, but at the same time, he protected the ball, and that's the biggest key and biggest issue with these rookie quarterbacks. And he did well. I give him props. He against Minnesota's defense is not one of the worst, but it's not one of the best either.
Yeah,
and he kept him in there, and his overseas kind of different game. But yeah, overall, I give you like a B-.
I do think that it might be good for David Njoku.
Yes. Yep. We've seen that. He had a hell of a game.
Yep.
9 targets, 6 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown.
And Harold Fanton became the second one. He also caught a touchdown, which saved him. But yeah,
it was 4 for 13 on TD.
David Njoku is good. Like, that's the thing that's annoying is that, like, he's a good tight end, but he's just never been utilized by anybody.
And there, during the whole game, they're like, they're phasing out David Njoku. Who just caught the ball? Hell? Like, you know, they kept on saying that. I'm like, stop saying it because it's not happening right now. And I love it because I had to start Njoku because of injuries heading up in some of my leagues.
Yeah, Britton Strange.
He left the game questionable. I don't know exactly if it is his knee or what, but he left the Jacksonville and Kansas City game tonight. Yeah. What about Woody Marks? Like, he's the top guy that we thought was supposed to get all the carries and all everything. And
I don't know if it's just because they were beating Baltimore so bad, they were like, let's kind of keep the better running back for when we need him, kind of thing.
I feel like you'd want to give him pro reps, so at the same time.
That's what I would give him too, but
that's why I just didn't understand. I mean, Woody Marks had 7 carries, 24 yards. Nick Chubb, 11 carries, 61 yards and touchdown. Maybe it was like, hey, we need to give him a touchdown because he's been on our team for so long. I don't know what he's done.
So,
I started Woody Marks, and that's why he didn't do so hot. That's exactly it. He was my start of the week.
The crazy thing was is that the coach literally said, we need to get this guy more touches.
Yep.
And like, oh, let's actually get him less touches.
Yeah, I want to see what – how many – he only played 39% of snaps, Woody Marks.
Yeah.
That's not
– only 7 touches after 17.
But you think about it, Nick Chubb only had 34. Like, where else did they go, you know?
Well, at the end of the game, when
Pierce,
they were –
he had 23. So maybe you were right. Maybe it was just, you know, right idea, just wrong execution because the Baltimore – Ravens look like ass.
Yeah, Damian Pierce got garbage time.
Yep.
I mean, they have 7 running backs.
British Brooks. I've never heard of him. No idea who he is. The
They've got Unguga.
Oh, Dar Amugwale.
There you go. From
Wisconsin. He played for Wisconsin. You should be knowing that.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, he's more like pass catching running back, but Pierce had 7 carries as well. But on the flip side, that same game, Derrick Henry, what is going on with him?
Man, did the fall off happen?
The fall off happened for this whole team, but yes, week 1 a monster, and then week 2 through 5,
he's very good when they have a lead.
Oh, absolutely, because all they're doing is giving him 20 carries. I mean, he still had 15 in this game for only 33 yards. Was not a good sign. I mean, he did get that touchdown, but still.
Yeah.
Let's see. What RB1 week 1, 60, 25, 43, 28 right now. But yeah. He's... I don't even know. 18 rush attempts, 11 rush attempts, 12, 8 last week did not make sense at all, and 15 this week. He's not getting – and he doesn't catch anything. So, I mean, you get 1 catch, 2 yards maybe if you're lucky. So it's so hard for him to be great numbers that way because he's not going to get you anything in the PPR league. And then let's talk about one more player. How about Bo Nix? He was like the seventh, eighth quarterback off the board in a lot of drafts, and I don't think he's actually played that well lately. He protected the ball, so I guess he played okay. But
yeah, and down at the goal line, they just pass it off. They just run. They run the ball a lot at the goal line.
J.K. Dobbins,
yeah,
20 rush attempts. Whew, that's great numbers for him.
Yeah, I think he's protecting the ball. Not the first game. The first game was bad against Tennessee, but like, I don't know. He's been okay.
I guess he's got 8 touchdowns. I just feel like for what we're hoping for, he has not returned the investment, if you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the best quarterback from last year has been Drake May.
Yeah, absolutely. And he stepped up in a huge way like this past week against Buffalo, especially his first signature game, you know, primetime game. Some of those throws look so amazing. Watching him and then watching the other side of the ball, Josh Allen, it looks so comparable, like so much. I like seeing that game.
The Bills uniforms, though, were dope.
The like gold and – or not the gold, but like the whiteout and
chrome. I really like those uniforms.
Definitely.
For Bo Nix, I mean, he's still QB12.
Yeah, I think I just looked it up. He's been 33
points, 27 I mean, he's not been bad, I guess.
27, 11, 19, 5, 15 for quarterbacks. And on the year, he's quarterback 12. So you're right on money right there with 12.
Yeah.
Do you have any trade targets possibly for redrafts? I know it's so hard to
trade. Man, I feel like I haven't got a single trade through.
Or maybe somebody that you're all in on for the rest of the season type guy. Possibly like a mid-tier guy, obviously. Puka is number one, you know, but yeah.
You could try to trade for you know, somebody like Woody Marks. Yeah, you know, somebody that people thought he might I think he's still gonna wind up taking over that backfield. Man, it just in redrafts, it's just so hard to trade. Like, I've been throwing out trades and I'm just not getting anything to go through.
The only way you can is if you trade away picks, if your league allows that. Yeah. But, like, even then, it's like, man, do I want to? You know, you know the sacrifice of trading away your picks and not even making them playoffs. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. But the wild thing is that I traded away all those picks and, dude, my team's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say, like, if I'm trying to go out there and actively make trades, DK Metcalf is somebody that I think that people should try. You know, he did have that big game last week, but overall in the year, he's just not being utilized as much as people were hoping for coming from an Aaron Rodgers guy. You know, he likes to hyper target. We just saw that he had a really good game. Maybe they're starting to figure out how to use him last week. And coming off the bye week, you know, you get that chemistry coming. I think he could probably be a good – he's a mid-tier guy that really hasn't exploded wide receiver 24 on the year. But
yep.
I think he's got a lot of potential to go out, and he could be a league winner down the stretch.
Yeah, definitely. And also
– Travion Henderson.
He's had the bye away. You know, like, it's out of the way. You don't have to worry about him. The only way – you're benching him is injury. And I guess I can't say it won't happen because everyone gets injured lately, but
I think also people should trade for Travion Henderson.
I know Mike Vrabel came out in press conference before we went on and said, like, they want to get him more involved. Yeah. Sounds like he still is having a hard time understanding the playbook. So that's where I'm kind of like,
I think that he's a guy that you could probably get for cheap.
Yeah, especially, you know, a lot of people are, you know, having that draft, like, overhang, I guess. Like, crap, why did I draft him? I better ship him out, get what I can. Yeah. So definitely somebody that you could stash on your bench if you don't need an immediate starter.
I was really thinking, like, because when you had said, think about some trade guys, I was really thinking about, like, a guy that would be that you could trade for and you could get a deal done, but he just is still, like, is Brian Thomas. Like, man, I just want him to be good so bad, you know.
Yes,
he hasn't done anything yet, and it's like you could trade for him, but then it's like Trevor Lawrence just looks so bad.
Well, Lawrence has a 168, one touchdown, one interception currently, and Brian Thomas, three catches, 47.
I mean, he's been, the thing is he's getting targets. Like, he's got 7, 12, 6, 7, 4. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's getting the targets. It's just when your targets are winding up to 7 targets, one catch, 12 targets, 4 catches, 6, you know, like,
would they have been better off just keeping Mac Jones and getting rid of Trevor Lawrence? Because they looked decent at the end of last season with Jones, and Jones just pulled off a big upset in the league this week.
They would have saved a lot of money. They probably could have traded Trevor Lawrence, too.
Yeah.
College name.
One of my guys, I guess, it would have been better off last week was Jalen Waddle. I'm very high on him for the rest of the season. And he just proved this week, you know, having no Tyreek Hill involved the whole rest of the season,
Yeah.
He's their go-to guy, you know, and when they need it the most, what do? They went to Waddle for a, 50, 40, 6-yard touchdown.
Needed.
So, I mean, he had 6 catches. He still had 9 targets, which is huge for him. And now Tyreek's not there, but I think we might be 1 week over because his cost just went up. Yeah. And another guy, same thing, Stephon Diggs. After that first 100 yards, I was really interested in him, but he's still only playing 50% of snaps. He's getting 100 yards. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
I think he's still, you know, working his way back from his knee injury, but that's somebody you want to see and you like seeing doing it. And he was really good when he was in Houston before
he tore
his ACL injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You want to get in our waiver ads and then we'll get you out of here.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say is, like, for the wide receivers, especially when you're trying to trade for them right now, the biggest problem is there's just not that many, like, good ones, you know, like the guys you draft in the top, they're being outperformed by guys like Michael Pittman and, you know, guys that went later on in the draft. So it's like, if you could swing a trade for one of these wide receivers that maybe isn't performing yet, but you can see a path, might not be a bad idea.
But what about like a Terry McLaurin? I know he's not playing currently, but like Deebo Samuel, we see it year in and year out. He gets hurt and he's been a monster this season, but Terry McLaurin got hurt. I could see somebody like Terry McLaurin being easier to acquire than, you know, some of these other guys like Waddle and Diggs, just because they already hit like a big boom couple weeks and everyone's injured, especially if that team has like 3 other injuries on their team, they probably need depth. So go ahead and look at that as well. And make sure the bye weeks too, because maybe they're struggling with bye weeks as well. So this is a good time to be thinking about trading and looking at other people's teams.
Yeah.
Let's get into our waivers. Give us your list.
Yeah. So I'll start out with the wide receiver position. As we know, it's been pretty rough in the wide receiver streets. I was just going and looking at guys to pick up off the waiver, and it's like, and you've got guys that, you know, they're probably going to be 1 week wonders, but somebody that we should be, you know, looking at that's going to be coming back is Jalen Coker for the Carolina Panthers. He was a rookie last year. This is his second year, and he's coming back off IR. So if you want to get him, this is now the time to go out before everybody else does. You know, there's not a lot of competition for targets down there in Carolina, and their offense has been looking better. So if he's going to be the number 2 guy there behind Tedrick McMillan, so I would go out and get Jalen Coker. And then for my running backs, we were talking about the injury to the Chargers running back Amarian Hampton. So I would be looking at the 2 guys that they have backing him up. And I as of right now, Hassan Haskins is the guy that I would be trying to go for. He was the backup. Hopefully it's not something like it was with Arizona, where, you know, their backup all of a sudden becomes their they're still their backup. But he's not really a pass catching back, kind of like Dean Mercado is. So he's more of a guy that can get the ball, and from what it looks like, he's going to be the next man up. But there's also Kamani Vidal. Yep. He is also there. So I would probably, you know, try to maybe get one of both of those guys. And then for my tight end, I have Mason Taylor for the Jets. He's a guy that's been getting worked in more and more into the lineup, and he just had a big week last week. Obviously, talk about the garbage time, but the Jets have been having a lot of garbage time this week, and he has been the number two guy in their passing. They don't have a lot of pass catchers there, and his snap percentages have been going up, and his targets were going up. So the last 3 weeks, he's had 6, 7, and then this past week, 12 targets. And this was a guy that I actually, you know, he was a first-round draft pick, and he was a guy that I kind of had some thoughts that he might break out this week. So I actually was able to pick him up and start him in a couple of leagues, and that worked out for 12 targets, 9 receptions for 67 yards, and a touchdown. Or no touchdown. That was Fatten Jr. And then for my quarterback, I have Sam Darnold. He's a guy that he was usable last year, and he's also been usable this year. He looks good, and I think he's a guy that you can pick up and not just play this week, but you could play him coming up. He does have a bye week coming up in 2 weeks, but, you know, 4 touchdowns to 1 pick last week. You know, he's currently the quarterback 14 on the season, but, you know, he's a guy that's not going to lose you any weeks. 20 points, 18 points, and then this past week, 38 points. So he's a guy that you can pick up, start, and you can keep starting him probably for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really like that Sam Darnold, especially, you know, with buys and injuries and whoever, everything else, his floor is like 20. So if you're needing consistent, you know, a boom bust player, it's not going to be your guy, but if you're wanting, hey, a 20 point guy to plug in your lineup for a bye week, absolutely. And then Jalen Coker, I told you, I'm like, damn, that's a good pick, because they got rid of Adam Thielen before Coker went on the IR.
Yep.
So they already knew Coker was going to be their number two. Unfortunate, he got hurt. He's their number two guy. It's not Xavier Leggett, even though he caught a touchdown. It's not him. No. He might not play this week, but again, you'd rather be early, a week early, than spending all your fab next week trying to acquire him. I said it last week, you want to be early on some of these guys. And he's probably going to be worked into the offense a little slower this coming week, but I really like him. Mason Taylor is another guy I really enjoyed getting a whole bunch of targets. I think he got, 7 targets this past week?
12.
12. Oh, Jesus. Even way more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely like those calls. For my, it's so hard because a lot of these guys are always there on free agents. So you might have heard me mention these last couple weeks. Matthew Stafford, 40% available. His numbers are MVP type numbers.
Yeah.
He's got 11 passing touchdowns, only 2 interceptions on the season, over 1,500 yards, averaging over 300 plus. The last 3 weeks or 2 weeks, he had 100 or 370 some yards this past week, 3 touchdowns. Week before, 360 or 380, I think it was, 3 touchdowns. His players are not hurt that he's got to throw to, and they always playing in shootout games. And that's what we love seeing. So I would get Matthew Stafford for sure this week.
Yep.
My running back, Michael Carter. I guess I'd have to say he took over for Benson. Everyone thought it was DeMarcado. And turns out it's Michael Carter. And DeMarcado should be cut on the team. So you shouldn't have to worry about him. And Bam Knight, he's nothing too much of a threat. Carter had 18 carries this past week. RB8 on the week, available in 41% of the leagues. That's my top running back target. My wide receiver, I know a lot of people probably hate me because I had him as my start. Isaiah Bond is still my guy. He's available in 74% of the leagues. He didn't produce like I thought, but he did see 8 targets, 3 of which were in the end zone. And it's just out of his reach or a good defensive play. and they're all on separate drives. So he could top got three touchdowns if, you know, the ball was there or it wasn't a good defensive play. But he's getting those targets. And even then, another drive, he had an end zone target, but the play was blown dead for the end zone. That could have been four targets in the end zone, which is huge, especially for fantasy. You love seeing touchdowns. Those are huge points. Maybe I was just 1 week too early on playing him, but this week against the Steelers, who allow a lot of passing yards, I really like Isaiah Bond again, 007 Bond. My tight end, Theo Johnson. He was my guy last week, 90% of leagues available. Now with Dart as a starter, he's had five targets last week, seven this week. He caught nine catches, 50 yards, but three touchdowns. I think the yardage will go up, but nonetheless, it's so hard to find a quality tight end on the free agency. And this guy is just getting into the swing of things with Dart at quarterback. Those were my guys. Couple bonus people, I would say, for quarterback with all the buys. Tua. Quarterback 7 on the week. He's been playing really good. He's had two or more touchdowns in four of the five games. And their ground game is not really existent. You know, Achan, 10 rushes, 16 yards. Not something that you're going to want. And also, they're always playing from behind. So what does that mean? Tua airing it out. And he's hasn't had any concussions this year. So yeah. I would definitely pick him up, too, if you're looking for another streamer this week.
Yeah, I always like those garbage time points. Garbage time points are still points.
I like them, but I hate them at the same time. A couple other people I just want to mention. You know, we were talking about wide receivers hard to see, you know, predict. Kendrick Bourne, 49ers, only healthy receiver. The only problem is what's going to happen once, you know, Juwan Jennings comes back or Ricky Pearsall and even Brock Purdy. Is he going to have the same amount of targets? It's not going to be 14. I can tell you that again. But he's another guy possibly. Josh Downs available in 50% of leagues. But he's playing that Jaden Reed role. 54% of snaps. And I don't like it. But again, he could be a good bye week filler. And another guy is Ryan Flournoy from Dallas. He's an interesting guy. He gave us 100 yards this week, caught six of his nine targets. But he's the only one that produced for Cowboys this week in receiving. But it's a huge risk for that, but it could be a huge reward.
Yeah.
These are just guys possibly. I wouldn't be spending a crap ton of fab at all on any of those three guys. Tua, if you need a streaming quarterback, absolutely. But these other guys are like 1, 2% fab for if you're wanting or needing a wide receiver with injuries and buys.
Yeah, I like that you keep calling out Isaiah Bond because, you know, he's only 25% rostered. And man, for a guy that's supposed to be a first round talent and you start seeing all these targets to him, that's a good thing to see, man. Like
I even mentioned last week as my start because I'm just so huge on him, I guess. You know, when he signed, okay, he was first round talent, off field issues, got undrafted. Understandable. But he signed as a second round draft money. You don't do that for somebody. You know, some bum rookie free agent, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
No, you don't give him second round money. And then on top of that, you're working him in slowly into your offense. And who was he working with? The backup, which was who now? Dylan Gabriel, the starter. He had eight targets still, and three of them were in the end zone. I think that's just big signs. And I watched that whole game because I am so huge on Isaiah Bond. They did not take one deep shot to him. Yeah. And what is he known for? 4.3 speed. You know, at the combine, he said, oh, if you blink, I'm going to break the record. Unfortunately, he didn't break the record. He didn't come close to it, but he's got killer speed. So I'm wondering when that huge home run play is going to happen, and I want to be there for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Theo Johnson, he's a guy that could be their leading receiver rest of the year. So he's a guy that he could be up there for, you know, top five tight end. Yeah, and then there was a couple of guys that I had that these are guys that are deep league. You probably don't have to spend any fab on them. Just guys, and you don't even have to pick them up right now. Just keep an eye on them. One of them is Torrey Horton, wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. He's a guy that can go out. He's their burner there. They have two guys and Jack Smith and Jigba and Cooper Kupp that are both kind of playing the same role. He's their down the field guy that can, he got a touchdown this last week, but he's just a guy, just keep an eye on him. Like we said, Sam Darnold likes to throw the ball deep. He did it with good success to Jordan Addison, and he's the kind of guy that it's kind of like Jordan Addison. And then Rashard Smith for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a rookie this year. He's getting worked in more into the offense. He's not tonight, I guess, but he's a guy that's been getting, you know, a little bit more snaps every week, more pass catching work, and their running backs look bad. Like Pacheco and
Hunt.
Kareem Hunt, both, they just look bad.
Yeah, right now Patrick Mahomes is leading the team with 60 yards.
Yeah.
Smith, he just think of Jerry McKinnon and put Smith into that role. Yep. Two catches, 27 yards. Might not sound a lot, but this is also him just getting his feet wet.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, he was a late round pick.
But for a guy that could be on your free agency, and if you're, you know, you want to just take a little throw at him right now, go for it. But these are guys you want to be looking at.
And be on top of it.
Yes.
Try definitely. To look for things before they happen. Kind of like we called out for Woody Marks. It didn't work out last week, but the week before it did. And it's like these guys.
You called it out. I'll be honest. Yeah. You're the one that said, hey, watch Woody Marks. I said Dart, and then all of a sudden Dart becomes a starter the next day. But, yeah, you smash on the Woody Marks call 100%.
I mean,
like those guys.
Watch snap percentages and just kind of watch what these guys are doing. Guys want their rookies out there playing.
Yep. And then also, with the Chargers, I just look and see if they do any moves for running back, because that'll be a story to tell for yourself as well. But, yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. That's a show, you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. We went pretty much full off script besides our waivers. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah. It's fun to talk the fantasy football and kind of just get some venting off your chest too. You know, it's
so much as I'm sitting here looking at the Chargers. What the hell, lad? But yeah, I appreciate you jumping on. Again, that's a wrap of Fantasy End Zone today. Subscribe, you know, for expert analysis and tips. I'm always on Tuesdays, and I'll have a show mostly on Fridays. Last week, Thursday, but nonetheless, we always got to start sits coming out. You can follow me on Twitter at LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Steven, you want to let them know where they could follow your podcast and where they could follow your work?
Yeah. Follow the Bogey Breakdown on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on TikTok.
All right, guys. Until then, peace out. See you fantasy heads next week.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.